Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Nick and Cecil. Here's former Bronco Nick Ferguson and DenverFan.com's Cecil Lemmy.
Nick and Cecil here on The Fan, and the Stars come out at night. J.C. Tretter from the Cleveland Browns, also the NFLPA president, joining us. And J.C., good evening. Welcome to the show. The Denver Broncos chose to not participate in voluntary workouts, leading other teams to make similar decisions. Some fans are outraged. Nick and I are raising our hands like, why are people outraged about this? But your thoughts when the Broncos and now other teams make this decision to stay away from voluntary workouts?
Yeah, I think we start by reiterating the fact that they are voluntary workouts.
Right.
And that has slowly lost its definition over time in the NFL circles. Voluntary means it's a choice. And some of the fans and some of the media and a lot of the teams and coaches have lost that definition. But it is a choice. And this year, more than any other, guys are realizing that they have to make a choice of what they want to do. The pandemic is still going on. There are still issues with players. We're seeing them in other sports. We're seeing sports have outbreaks. We're seeing Jason Tatum come forward and talk about the fact that he has to take an inhaler before games now. He never had to take before because he still doesn't feel right since getting COVID. And then are you going to make the decision to go back to voluntary workouts that are unnecessary in the middle of a pandemic? And you're seeing a lot of teams come forward and say, no, we're not going to do that.
JC, what are some of the protocols that, you know, the Players Association would have loved to see in place that are not currently in place? Because we continue to hear the issue come up and you know, players in the league say, well, last year that was one thing, but in the offseason things have been done differently.
Yeah, the people will point to, you guys just got through a regular season. The regular season and the offseason are two very different animals. They're two very different programs. We were in a virtual bubble last year. When no one was leaving, no one was traveling. In the off season, teams can only have you there for 4 days a week. So guys are free to move about the country, fly away, visit, and there are, you know, there's not going to be everyday testing like it was during the season. Those are two really big aspects of our protocol during the year that won't be in these protocols now. So you can't really compare what happened during the season and say, well, it worked then, it'll work now. We don't know what's going to happen now when you take away guys getting tested every day and guys not traveling. When those two things get taken out the window, now we don't know what that building's going to look like.
J.C. Tretter, NFLPA president, joining us here, Nick and Cecil on The Fan. And you were elected president of the NFLPA, succeeding Eric Winston, who did a fine job, on March 10th, 2020. Now, I'm going to look back at my calendar, and I think it was probably at CU's Pro Day, when Pro Days were still a thing, when that happened. So you're basically elected when, like, the pandemic kicks off. What kind of challenges? I can't even imagine the challenges that you faced as NFLPA president right at the start, you know, from the start of this whole thing last year in March.
Yeah, I think the toughest part was that this was a novel and emerging virus, and everybody's went through it. We've been dealing with this for over a year now, but there was no game plan. There was nothing. You know, you could go into a CBA negotiations and you could look back at previous CBAs and have a game plan and look at what worked or what's a good idea. When you're dealing with a brand new worldwide pandemic, there are no clear answers. You have to really rely on science and data and get as many perspectives as possible to try to make the best decisions. So I've unfortunately learned more about epidemiology and the studies of sciences than I ever would have wanted to.
Right.
But it was definitely a unique challenge.
JC, what do you guys have said or put in place for those players who have workout bonuses? Because once again, as we talk about voluntary workouts, that's the biggest thing that continues to come up. There are more guys who have workout bonuses now that the Broncos have decided not to participate in the first phase. What happens to those bonuses?
Yeah, so our opinion is we're not trying to have anybody lose. We're sometimes talking about tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars. And that's why it comes down to a choice. And we are not, you know, telling you not to make the choice to go and get all that money. We're not trying to take money off your plate. But that's why it's each person's individual choice to go in and do that. And some people will choose to. And as you've been seeing, a lot of teams have chosen not to. But that's what this comes down to, is each individual's choice to make the right decision for them, for their careers. And that's really what being a professional is all about, is taking in all the information, taking in the data, taking in the stats, and then making the best decision for you and your family. That's what being a pro is.
From the Cleveland Browns, it's J.C. Treader. He's also the NFLPA president here on Nick and Cecil on the Fan. And, J.C., my final question for you, and appreciate your time this evening. It has to do with the actual voluntary workouts themselves, because Broncos fans, super nervous, right? Denver hasn't exactly been great since they won Super Bowl 50. I'm trying to be nice. So Broncos fans are all nervous. Like, if they miss workouts, then it's going to set everybody back. I mean, I've been to OTA. I mean, I've watched you guys, you know, kind of sweat or whatever at OTAs. I haven't actually gone through that. Nick played in a league a decade. So I want to know, JC, like, a voluntary workout, is there any way to assuage the fears of Denver fans being like, listen, you can make up for this voluntary time because, well, installation doesn't even begin yet. Am I right in this assessment?
Yeah, I mean, first off, we got to remember that we went through this last year. There was no OTAs. There was no preseason games. And let's just look at the body of work of the NFL. Because, you know, the teams have to win, teams have to lose. But let's look at the stats overall. Let's start health and safety-wise. There's a 23% reduction in missed time injuries last year with the changes we made to the schedule. There's a 30% reduction in concussions last year with a change of the schedule. Mm. All soft tissue injuries were flat or down across the board. ACL injuries were the lowest, the second lowest they've been in the five-year trends. So we were a healthier player population last year as a whole. And then the NFL will even tell you this because they talked about it on their competition committee call. It was one of the best years for pro football when it comes to the product on the field. It was the highest scoring it's ever been. There was the most 10-point comebacks of all time. The margin of victory was the smallest it's been in over a decade. And there were more teams still alive in playoff contention the last week of the season. So when you start talking about lower injuries, more parity, more drama and more scoring, that means the games are better and the players are healthier, and that's good for the league. What goes on during the OTAs, you're in shorts and a t-shirt. It's not real football. It does add wear and tear on guys' bodies. It's not great for them. You see guys go down with injuries all the time in the off season, which then leaves teams missing them during the regular season. I've always looked at OTAs as a time to mentally learn, to learn what your assignments are, so when you finally have to put the pads on, you can go out there and execute, and you can play full speed and do all the things that football needs to be done. You can learn virtually, and we saw that last year. You can easily learn how to do your assignments and what's in the playbook virtually. You do not need to be in person to do that stuff.
Now, JC, I need you to kind of clear up this narrative that's been floating around there and based on this situation. There's so many individuals feeling as though this is just a ploy by the NFLPA to use the COVID pandemic as a way of creating some kind of strategic advantage in negotiations and maybe shifting something that has been settled already in the collective bargaining agreement. What would you say to those individuals pushing out that narrative?
As in changing the off season moving forward?
Yes.
Well, I mean, first off, what we're seeing is the off season is voluntary. So that's already been negotiated. And you're seeing this year guys say, we're just not going to go. That's always been our right. There's nothing changing there. And then we, like I said last, we've already had a year of data, I think, that proves the off season's obsolete and that it's not in the best interest of players. And it doesn't keep you healthier. It's honestly a bigger health risk to go to these off-season workouts and risk injury than it is to be there. So we've already seen what happens when you don't show up to off-season workouts. Football was better last year. The stats show that. The players were healthier last year. The stats show that. So I don't know what we'd be gaining or manipulating there. We've already seen it. The proof's already out there. But there's no manipulating COVID. It's still a problem. And last year when the NFL agreed to have an all-virtual program, we were having 16,000 daily COVID cases across the country. Right now we're having 60,000, over three times as many. So I don't know how, if we thought it wasn't safe when we were having 16,000 to have voluntary practices, why now it all of a sudden would be good when we're having over three times as many. That doesn't make sense to me.
Doesn't make sense to me either, and that's something that Cecil and I have been pounding the table for and trying to have our fan base actually understand that this is voluntary and these guys have their right to make the decision that affects them and their families. So I'll say this, JC, I appreciate what you guys have been doing on behalf of the players. Keep it up, because it's all about protecting the players now in the present and in the future. So appreciate you giving us some time here on the Nick and Cecil Show.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
And there we have him on that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline, J.C. Treader, NFLPA president, and such wisdom that we just got right there. Nick Bergeson, another one in Nick's contact list. Can't say Rolodex anymore. Nobody knows.
No.
So it's like Rolodex.
Let's say Rolex.
Come on, old man.
Is that a
Roly? You talking about a Roly?
No, say that's not a Roly. That's a Stoli.
Oh, okay. I actually talked to a fan at the comic book store today. He's like, you and Nick have the youngest sounding show on the Fan. I said, good, because we always make fun of the other guys for, you know, Starsky and Hutch or whatever. So I'll take that. No Rolodex here. Contact list. But another great get from Nick Ferguson. And the numbers that he gave, we got to go over these numbers and why voluntary workouts, this old school mentality, needs to go bye-bye. We talk about it next.